The following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Turn to Matthew 11:12. I've just got a couple of verses this morning. Started on a theme several Sundays ago. Seemed like I need to stay on it. Get on a theme, and the Holy Ghost won't let me get off the theme. Matthew 11:12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. The violent men take it by force. That is a strange verse. I mean, just plucked out of context. So what is he talking about? And since John the Baptist ceased his ministry and Christ came on the scene, the kingdom came with violence, and it takes, like the margin read, it's gotten by force. Really believe what he's talking about. In a violent world ruled by a violent demonic tyrant, the kingdom of God couldn't be a passive thing. It's like it burst through all the norm, all the day-to-day. Jesus showed up like a blazing meteor, a black sky, breaking into, bursting through, exposing. There were powerful forces that resisted, that continued to resist Jesus from the get-go. Very difficult to get, but there were powerful forces that recognized what Jesus had, what Jesus was doing, what Jesus did, was going to be something that would be absolutely shattering to the world system. The man didn't understand that. But there was a level of the demonic that understood the Son of God showing up on the earth. Remember when the demons would manifest? And they would say, "We know who you are, the Son of God." And he'd have to silence them. They knew who he was. No one else did. I really believe what Jesus is saying. Powerful forces opposed and resisted all that Jesus did. It takes equal aggressiveness to take hold of what Jesus is doing. Teaching this morning is staying aggressive in the spirit. You know, aggressive is not our norm. What is our norm? Somebody snored. Yeah, I mean, you know, it doesn't take any energy to be passive. Aggressiveness takes initiative. It takes seeing something. It takes recognizing something bigger than you and all that's around you that would cause you to get out of your comfort zone and move into a conformable zone. Be honest with you, Christianity is not for wimps or for the passive. And you can see that in the life of Jesus. How many people did he minister to? You know, thousands, fed them, prayed for them, healed them, testified the gospel to them. But it all got shook down. Who was left? It's just a handful left everything. Just a handful of guys, you know, left the hearth and home and comfort and family. Highly irresponsible thing to do, by the way. You know, leave, you're the breadwinner, and bye. Follow this preacher for a few years, do what you can. That's what they did. Highly irresponsible on one level. I'm sure they heard it. You've thought about Peter going back around his house one day? Maybe Jesus just circumnavigated around Peter's town for a long time to give Mrs. Peter a chance to recognize what her husband was doing. Luke 16:16. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man what? Presses into it. You know, this is really the same quote interpreted a little differently by Luke than Matthew. He's saying, you know, since Jesus has come, this is something you got to press into. It's not going to press to you. Something that takes initiative. You have to get up and follow and do. You know, I would submit almost any and everything that happens to you and I commences as you take initiative. Taking initiative's hard. Right? We're lazy people. You know, we live in a culture right now, if we'd grown in an agrarian culture 150 years ago where if you didn't get up, you know, milk the cows, plow the ground, gather the eggs, you weren't hungry. He that will not plow by reason of the cold shall be hungry and harvest, Solomon said. Shall beg in harvest time. But it's really the whole Christianity thing, guys. This is so basic. But we have to be reminded almost weekly. It's, get ready, it's something called faith. And faith is not born of feeling. In fact, it's the polar opposite a lot of times. And to move in faith, man, this is a man of God. A brand new pack of Tums. It's okay, that'll carry me. As a fellow in India faithfully listens to our sermons, I got an email this morning from him. Listened to Bo's sermon the other day, and Charles is Balasin's son. And I'm sure he'll be listening to that just then. And what was Tom's? It's okay, Charles. Everything's about faith. You know, that prodigal son was sitting in the pig pen, miserable, eating pig food, what the pigs would give him. Finally, he had a revelation. And even a slave, you better than this. I think I'll go home. But you know, it's interesting. That wasn't enough just to decide that. Bible says in Luke 15, he actually got up, stood up in the mud, trudged to the edge of the pig pit, stepped over the wire fence. Not a nice place for a Jewish boy anyway. And began to walk to his father's house. 1 foot, then the next foot. Now, what was his fundamental motivation in getting out of the pig pen? Hello. Hungry. He was starving. You know, that is a motivator. Some of us are lazy until we feel hungry. We get all this energy to go in there and fix all kinds of food that satisfy our hunger but do squat for our body. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Say, you know, I'm hungry. I know I need to eat something decent. But, oh, look, we got some ice cream left. There's a banana. I could make me an ice cream, what, banana split. A lot of work. Hunger motivates. You know, the thing is, the fundamental thing I want to lay on us, help us understand, is if you don't stay aggressive, you'll be passive. Jesus said, you're either gathering or scattering. You're with me or against me. You're hot or cold. But what's that thing between hot and cold? Yet how many of us? It's interesting that in lukewarmness, deception sets in. Because he said to the Laodiceans in Revelation 3, you're rich, filled with good, you have need of nothing. And they went, yeah, that's right. Sitting here in a pig pen. You have no idea that you're wretched, poor, miserable, blind, and naked, the Lord said. It's interesting, he says, be hot and ready, repent. Repentance and faith are the keystone foundations of the Christian life. Both entail initiative and aggressiveness. Ephesians 6:10. We're not looking at any verses you haven't seen before. Ephesians 6 is a famous chapter about spiritual warfare. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. In the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Schemes or subtle trickeries or deceits. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against all these spiritual forces. He describes these spiritual forces, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. Spiritual wickedness. Do you ever feel like you face all those guys in one day? Wham! I mean, that's some pretty high, pretty heavy hierarchy there. I would suspect in many of our lives, Satan doesn't have to dispatch the principalities to get us to stop. Maybe a little 15-cent demon will work. Hello? Demon of indulgence or, you know, distraction. Some area that's not crucified. That's where the demons come in. Yeah, I got a long email from somebody this week who came here in the past. And his boy came here and he's castigating me in the email because the boy's back in the world now. Why? All the deliverance we prayed for him, the demons didn't come out. I haven't responded to the email yet. I'm sharpening my knives. So, well, fundamentally, what I'm going to say, he wasn't repentant. He even admitted he didn't hate the world. It's part of the world he didn't want to let go. Dude, you can cast a demon out to the cows come home. He'll sit in there and wave at you and laugh. Deliverance is no panacea. It's no solution. Repentance is a solution. And where there's repentance and brokenness, oh yeah, they'll come out. They will. A lot of us, reason we're not delivered, it's not because you need more deliverance. You need to repent by taking initiative, by going in a new direction. I appreciate Lindy's challenge this morning. Now, that's a challenge to lay your life down. Many of us gave it a fleeting thought. Yeah, that'd be cool. Get together, pray, see words of knowledge go out. There it is. Pray, they get healed, they saved. Gosh, I'd like to do that someday. But not today, Lord. I bought a field. I married a wife. I married a wife. I bought some oxen, Lord, and then I'll come. And Jesus stood up in Luke 14 and castigated them. You don't hate the world. All that's in the world and everything around you gets between you and me. You're not worthy of me. Salt is good, but if it loses its savor, it's not worth squat thrown on the dunghill. Even sidewalk salt won't even melt the ice. Did you know you're salt of the earth, but you can become squalor? Folks, God's given you a gift. It's in your eternal hands. You have one life. One day you're going to be held accountable for every single day, hour, minute. Can I amen? These challenges we throw out, I know there will be the faithful ones, those who have a heart for it. But I challenge you, those who the Holy Ghost, now some of y'all, the Holy Ghost may not even whisper it, because he knows you're not going to listen. He knows you're going to say, that's not what I want to do. I want to do what I want to do. Not what the kingdom asks me to do, is to go into all the world and make disciples of all men and preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out the devils, cleanse the lepers, freely you receive, freely give. That's what Jesus said. America is a cursed land. Because you get out from under an environment where you hear hard preaching like this, and there's just smooth peanut butter preaching everywhere else. Not even chunky. Just smooth. Jesus came so you can have your best, your very best now. Yeah, your very best is to come down here and lay down your life. So you might have life eternal. Look at verse 13. Wherefore, taking you to the whole armor of God. And this is what I wanted to see. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand. Whenever I read that, I think of somebody standing in the current of a river. Or in the face of a windstorm. Against the current. I think Dallas Holmes had an album once called Against the Current. That's what Christianity is. Against the current. Isn't it easy to flow with the current? God moves remarkably when we press in. Let's close with a little illustration this morning. I like to end my teachings with a Bible illustration to back it up. Show you it's real. Y'all have heard this story before, but let's go through it again. 1 Samuel 14. You got it? 1 Samuel 14, verse 1. Jonathan was Saul's son, and Saul was, well, frankly, he was a pretty passive guy in the face of the enemy, the Philistines. Sitting around on the pomegranate tree, waiting for something to happen, Saul was. Had no... It's interesting, the only thing Saul was aggressive about was to kill David. The enemies of Israel, forget it. Let's just have to taunt, bygone, you know, leave them alone. Maybe they'll leave us alone. But it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man that bore his armor, hey, why don't you and I go over to the Philistine garrison? It's on the other side. But he didn't tell his father. He was cut from a different cloth than his dad. He got tired of sitting. Waiting for the enemy to take initiative. Kind of dumb. He was going to run offense. How many of y'all know you never score a point defense? You got to have offense. You got to be on offense. You got to have the ball. Right? Defense is just hanging on the little turf you got. Offense is taking turf and trying to run and score. So incredibly, Jonathan says to his armor bearer, you know, with you and me and God, we can do anything. David's teaching on Daniel this morning. It's basically Daniel's attitude. You know, with God, I don't have to be afraid. You know, that's what it really boils down to, guys, the whole thing. You and God. Do you really believe God is mighty and powerful and awesome and lives inside of you? Now in Him it's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, Paul said. If you really believe that, initiative is not a problem. Really suspect it boils down to unbelief. We just, again, slipping around on the peanut butter, on the slippery, slidey stuff of the world, and the church, and so many things, we forget. But here's a wonderful story in verse 8. So Jonathan said, behold, we'll pass over to these men and we'll discover ourselves to them. Now look what he says. We're going to go show ourselves to the Philistine. And we want to see how they respond to us as to whether the Holy Ghost is saying go, move forward. He wasn't presumptuous. He had faith. He moved forward, but he wanted a release from the Lord. See? And interesting what he said, verse 9. If they say, tarry until we come to you, then we'll stand still in our place. We'll not go to them. In other words, if they say, just be passive, then we know that's not God. Does that make sense? If they say, be passive, just stay there, that ain't a confirmation from the Lord. That's what my daddy's doing. Verse 10, but if they say, come on up, then we'll go up. Isn't that cool? He wanted to hear through the enemy's mouth the very thing he was feeling. I need to take initiative. He said, if they say, come up, we'll go up, but then the Lord's delivered in my hand. This will be a sign. So sure enough, verse 11, both of them discovered themselves to the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, look, the Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they hid themselves. Not a lot of respect the enemy has for most Christians. Did you hear what I said? Some Christian rises up and begins to do something for the kingdom. The enemy kind of yawns, stubs out his cigar, says, what's going on? Go back in your hole, your pit. And your deceptive lunacy. The enemy was unprepared for such faith. Think back to my early days. I was part of a big church, lots of people, friends, popular. And I got prayed for deliverance, had significant supernatural encounters with the Lord. And something got in my bones. I went around people I'd known for, good Lord, almost 7, 8 years. I began to see the real problems in their life by discernment. And I couldn't leave it alone. I had to go in there where angels feared to tread and start talking to them about demons. Saying, come on to my house, I'll cast them out. Didn't know what I was doing. Over time, God sent some people with me to help me. But I just got mad. Because I remember for a long time, some people around me were really weird. And I figured their weirdness was natural. Even today, I remember some folks pre-deliverance. I wish I'd known about that back then. On Facebook, I'm encountering some of my old colleagues from 30 years ago. And I've encountered one or two that I remembered, man, they need deliverance. I didn't know what to say. Had I had time, said it, I would have prayed. It's amazing how the little faith God gave me, just because I got mad because my friends were in bondage and the religious system leadership I was under, didn't want to go there. So look what happens. Verse 12. The men of the garrison answered Jonathan, his armor bearer. Said, come up to us. We'll show you a thing. Jonathan said to his armor, come on. The Lord's delivered them all into our hands. I got to meet this guy someday. Amen? I mean, he's just out there. Whole garrison of Philistines, him and his buddy. Come on, let's go get him. And Jonathan climbed on his hands and his feet, his armor bearer after him, and the enemy fell before Jonathan, his armor bearer. The first slaughter. He goes on to describe that they made was about 20 men. Talks about half acre of land. They just cleaned it out. When they're like wild men. You know why I think they were able to do it? Because the Philistines were not prepared for some violence. Violence in those that wanted to take it by force. Absolutely unprepared. You know, there's a lot of forces and demons and powers and principalities and things out there on people. And the enemy probably hadn't encountered real faith on that person or on somebody else for a long time. You show up with the audacity of just, well, you know, I don't know. The Bible says I lay hands on them. They'll get healed. You do it. Do it again and do it a third time. Guess what? One day they're going to get healed. Going to go, whoa. God's going to say it's because of your faith. How many times did Jesus heal people and said, you're what? Now here's where you get what's interesting to conclude this morning. This is what I love. You know, God will always back your act. He's not going to leave you out there, you and Jonathan, facing thousands of Philistines. Just get out there, show me what you got. Do some first fruit slaughter. Look at verse 15. And there was what? A trembling in the host, in the field, among all the people, the garrison, the spoilers, they trembled. The earth quaked. It was a very great trembling. The margin reads, a trembling of God. Is that cool? When did God show up? See, Saul was waiting for the trembling sitting under that pomegranate tree. Jonathan knew God and knew that if I move forward, draw nigh to him, he's going to draw nigh to me. I believe there are angels, guys, angelic beings of innumerable size and sort, twice as many as demons. All around us. But they just kind of lean on their sword. You know, they may be getting passive. You know, not much to do because there's not much faith. God backed him up with an earthquake. How many times we see that Paul and Silas in the prison? Pure faith to sing praise. God backed him up with an earthquake. Just a little faith, I said, sent a torrent of angels with big feet. They started stomping, brought an earthquake. And they ended up wiping out the Philistine garrison. Folks, the same backup is for us. For the tenacious, the aggressive, the hard-headed, the stubborn, that will not take no. That will press on to the mark of the prize. Though all hell, knowing that the gates of hell will not prevail against those that push into the kingdom. Can earn amen. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray that this word would stir our spirits this morning. Stir our spirits. Cause us to have an incredible week. Not because anything's different about this week, but because we have decided we're not going to sit. We're going to move forward. We're going to dare God to show up like He promised. Say this after me, Jesus. Forgive me for my passiveness, laziness, complacency, falling into the rut. As a result, feeling and going through the same old, same old. Jesus, give me fresh faith to believe God that You're with me. Greater is He that's with me than he that's in the world. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray You would just instill this word deep in our spirit. Let it wake us up. Give us a powerful week. Not another doldrum week of getting up, making money, going to work, coming home, dealing with stuff. But a kingdom of God week. Where our priorities, Lord, are different. Not having to watch TV or movie or having to entertain. But Lord, to deny ourselves. To get out there and see the kingdom move. So we'll have a house of testimony of the kingdom of God birthing in this religious stronghold of Pasadena. Or wherever folks live. Come, Holy Ghost. Convict us. Let this word rest in us. Bring forth fruit.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.